When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner, Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the Warehouse Rats.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Warehouse Rats podcast. I am one of the hosts, Josh, joined to the other side of me, the other co-host.
Hemp / Uber driver.
You saved my life today.
I don't. Dude, your boss started cracking when I told him. Like, he's
your boss too.
Well, yeah, I know. He's my hero. No, he did start cracking up the one.
Oh yeah. He went, like, so for clarification, for the listeners, my car had its transmission go out, so that is now in its like third week of development. So I've been down to one car, and so that's in its own little process of getting taken care of, and I'm probably gonna be without a car for another 3 weeks at least.
But you know, it makes you value cars a little bit more.
Oh yeah.
You know, now you know how the Amish feel.
But like, the hardest part is just using all the Ubers now,
right?
Which really sucks because now I'm paying a whole bunch. But today I requested an Uber. They showed up promptly on time, and we were no more than 2 miles from my house, and my Uber's car broke down. So I'm just like, so do I like just request another one? And she's like, yeah, you're gonna have to request another. I'm like, oh, okay. And so she ended the ride, charged me.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, I gotta get going. So I just got out of the car and started walking, and I'm like, okay, Ricardo, come save me.
Well, it's kind of weird that she didn't kind of reach out to Uber and say like, hey, because you can, I mean, I used to be an Uber driver, so I don't remember exactly how you do it, but you can definitely reach out and say like, hey, don't charge so-and-so this fare because it's, you know,
right.
It wasn't fair.
No.
Okay. So yeah, it's kind of weird that, you know, but I mean, you know, she still has to get paid, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, still. it was like $5, so I'm like, whatever.
Which, in turn, she's probably only going to get like $1 or $2 at the most, probably, because it's...
Oh, well, and the fact that her car broke down and she lives like a good 45 minutes away.
Wow.
I was like...
What the hell are you doing in Kalamazoo anyways?
Yeah, well, from, because she told me where she's from.
And where's she from?
I'm not going to let our listeners know that.
No, I mean...
Three Rivers. But I mean... So...
Don't they have Three Rivers closer to... Well, not closer, but... Yeah, I guess...
So, I mean, you know, she was doing stuff up here, and so I'm like, damn, that sucks. So, but at the same time, yeah, I didn't, like, tip her or anything like that. I'm like, you didn't get me where I was going. I'm like, so here, here's the what you owe or what you get. But
what I've been noticing is that, Josh, you're a good guy, but here's the thing.
The fuck?
Hashtag here's the thing. You have a very dark side.
I think that's racist.
Not physically a dark side.
No.
More of a spiritual dark side.
Like the force.
Sure, like the force. When I was talking about a certain person, like, I don't know if I really care. What'd you say?
Am I a bad person if I don't care?
Yeah. I was like, huh. I mean... Yes and no. Okay, like I understand, but
yeah,
I guess it's kind of weird.
Yeah, like there are some days where I'm like totally empathetic and I'm very nice, but there are some days where like if I watch you stub your toe and it really hurts, I will still just stand there and laugh at you. It's just, you gotta catch me on the right day.
Well, for me it's kind of weird because I think for the most part I'm always empathetic. Yeah. Always have a lot of empathy.
Yeah.
You don't believe me, do you?
Yeah, I absolutely believe you.
Okay.
Maybe you have too much.
I think I do. So, like, there are certain situations that I don't want to get into too much, but
right.
At work, even, like, people who I truly hate when I feel like that they're... when they're having, like, a bad day or they get fired or something, I'm like, you know, I legit have a little soft spot for them, you know what I mean? Like, just because at the end of the day, whether you're a shitty person, I mean, they could probably think the same thing about me where they think I'm a shitty person and I'm really not, in a sense. You know what I mean? Like,
I guarantee people think I'm a shitty person mostly just because I have resting bitch face. Like, on TikTok, there's a little camera app to where it registers your smile.
Uh-huh.
And so I held it at my face and it went to zero, like, immediately. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I think that's bad. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing.
That's hilarious. Oh, I did see that where, they have that thing and they try not to, they're doing a duel where they are duetting where it's like don't get past they're trying to make them laugh, don't get past a certain level or whatever. And there's some people who don't break at all. I'm just like, okay. I guess I never even knew that was a thing though.
Yeah. But honestly, like me being new to TikTok and I'm like, there's just so much shit. Like somebody will go off on duets and this and that and that, and I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about?
So I saw this I saw this TikTok today actually where it was a duet, and you must know this a little bit more than I do because I don't think I never even heard of this game before.
Okay.
So it was really weird because so he's like, if you're a 90s kid or no this only gonna work for millennials. Did you ever see that one? He's like, this game is only going to work for millennials.
Okay.
And we're
technically millennials,
okay,
dude.
Okay. So she was like, yes, I was born in 94 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then so the guy's like, we're going to play the five fingers down or whatever.
Yeah.
If
you've done it, put a finger down or something like that. Yeah.
If you thought about the game is over or something like that.
If you thought about the game, game is over?
Yes. You lost. So,
what?
Yeah, it was fucking confusing to me.
I don't understand.
No, I know. Hear me out. So there was
hashtag. Here's the thing.
hashtag. Here's the thing. There was a game back in the day. I never heard of this game before, but supposedly there was a game. It's super confusing because if you gotta think about the game, if I leave you thinking about the game, you automatically lose because you're already thinking about the game. It's stupid. To me, it doesn't make any sense.
But what's the game?
The game is a game. Like, you're not supposed to think about the game. Like,
kind of like how the bird is the word.
Sure. Yeah, the bird is the word. Yeah. I don't know. But look it up. I'm not too sure what it's called, but it's just like it's a millennial thing, which I'm a millennial myself, but I'm not.
I have no idea what that is.
They were talking about.
No.
And then I scrolled to some other, you know, TikToks and where she actually explains it, what the game's about. And the game's. She made it really confusing where it's like the game itself is like. Not to think about the game, but then what the fuck is a game? And then you're just like,
but as soon as you think about it, how do you know when you thought about it in order to lose?
Well, you have to be, you definitely have to be, honest about it, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of like one of those, you know, don't cheat pretty much. So you didn't even get into the drink of the day. What is drink of the day today?
Well, due to the fact that some of us have to work tomorrow,
I want to know how you got out of work.
It's called hard work and determination, Ricardo.
So what hand did you use, left hand or right hand?
I used both hands.
What are you trying to say?
To get the work done.
Hey, I like the way you do it. Hey, I like that. I like that.
Anyways, so apparently we're taking it a little easier tonight with some flavored hard seltzers. they aren't White Claw, so I guess that's a positive.
White Claw's with the bras out.
These are called Truly.
Yeah. So you know,
are they like an off-brand White Claw?
No, probably. No, actually. So just about all of them have seltzers. So I noticed that, you know, Corona has seltzer, Budweiser. That Canadian beer, I can't remember what it was called.
The Vats?
I don't remember what it was called, but it was a Canadian beer. And because it had a Canada flag. And some other ones. I mean, there's a whole bunch of seltzers now. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's like the new thing. Only like the fancy people are drinking them now. So
because people want to get drunk, but they don't want to feel fat.
Pinkies up.
Fuck. Anyways.
Hashtag.
So we have to get into Nerd Corner. I'm so excited.
So he's been talking about
Nerd Corner. We got to get into it.
Since we're at work, so.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Nerd Corner.
Do you have anything for Nerd Corner?
Oh, fuck yeah, I do. Okay, so I should start with Hella Super Spoils.
Hella. That's a California thing.
Yeah. Loads of spoils for Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 1. So if you haven't watched it and you plan to watch it, do not listen to the Nerd Corner.
I'm still like on Season 1, Episode 3.
You fail. Okay, so. So, last season ended with the Mandalorian basically taking Baby Yoda as his own, but to find more of his species so he can reunite him with his species.
Aww.
Okay. So, he goes, the first episode starts out with him going to this very kind of creepy looking place where there are these like fights going on. Like they seem like underground fights and stuff like that.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, I'm trying to seek out more Mandalorians and in order to help me find this kid's species. And they say, hey, there's a Mandalorian on this particular planet. Now, this planet, if any Star Wars fan realize, is a very important planet to the Star Wars world. It's called Tatooine.
Oh.
Okay. Luke Skywalker lived there. Anakin Skywalker lived there. All kinds of shit happens there.
Skywalkers live there.
Right. So now, again, major Star Wars fans, if they remember, there's a particular Mandalorian who, quote unquote, died on Tatooine in the movie Return of the Jedi. And that is none other. No, fair. I just totally had a tongue twister. Holy shit.
Wow.
Okay, none other than Boba Fett.
Oh, shit. Boba Fett.
So he goes to this planet and he tracks down the whereabouts of this Mandalorian to this little village. And definitely has the feeling of this major Western theme going on. And, I mean, it's cool. So I'm like, it was fun. But then up until this point, there's been a lot of little stuff that's only fans will recognize and be like, oh, that's cool. Oh, cool. So he goes to the local saloon and he asks the bartender, hey, I'm looking for a Mandalorian. And he's like, hey, the only person who looks like you that's been here is the Marshal. And so I'm like, holy shit, Boba Fett's the Marshal? I'm like, that's so cool. And so he's like, so where can I find him? This guy looks over and he kind of nods over to the door. He looks over. Now, immediately, the armor is recognizable as Boba Fett.
Okay.
However, it's weathered. And it looks a little old, but then at least for me, immediately realized that the armor does not fit the guy wearing it.
Oh.
I'm like, that's not Boba Fett.
Someone jacked his shit.
Yes. Okay. And one of the ways they definitely prove that is he walks over to a table, immediately takes off the helmet. It's like, boom, definitely not him.
So even for myself, not being a Mandalorian, like I know that you're not supposed to.
You don't take the helmet off.
Don't take the helmet off. It's kind of like a Mexican wrestler.
Yes.
You don't take your wrestling head off.
Exactly. So other than a lot of fun little stuff that happens and definitely recognizable, the rest of the episode is essentially Jaws in the desert. Because there's a giant desert shark. Like, it was really weird, but like it was very interesting because they brought in an alien race that's been throughout the Star Wars series called the Tusken Raiders.
Okay.
And the Mandalorian series proved that not only do they have their own native language, they speak in like sign language as well, which is really cool. So they have them join in the village and they fight this creature and it's really cool. And of course, Mandalorian or Mando, whatever.
Right.
He ends up killing this thing in awesome fashion by like having him accidentally eat a whole bunch of explosives and then he blows it up from the inside out. I mean, really cool.
Wow.
And so all this happens, and so he ends up collecting the armor from the marshal because right. he's like, that's not yours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it.
Right.
And so, you know, and so
it is the way.
This is the way. So the best part is the last 10 seconds of the episode where the Mandalorian has all of this Boba Fett armor on him and he is on his little speeder bike and driving off into the sunset. And here is this lone person watching him drive off and he turns around and then he walks off camera and then the episode's over. Now, again, to uneducated Star Wars people, this guy, a little bit about Boba Fett. We're about to dive deep into nerd stuff here.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Boba Fett is the son of Jango Fett.
Jango.
Mm-hmm. No. So, but here's the thing, though. Hashtag here's the thing. So, in Star Wars Episode 2, you find out that a bounty hunter called Jango Fett had offered his DNA to a cloning facility to build the clone army for the Republic in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Now, for payment to do this, all he asked for was an unaltered clone. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, a son, but it's him. So, that clone is, or his son, is Boba.
Okay.
Now, obviously, the actor who played Jango Fett, you know, we know who he is. So, at the end of this Mandalorian episode, the person to turn around is the same actor as Jango Fett, which implies it's Boba Fett.
Mm.
So the fact that Boba Fett is alive and just watched the Mandalorian take off with his armor, I'm like, they fucking better do something with that. Because if that's the only thing, granted, it's hella cool.
Right.
But if it's the only thing, I'm going to be kind of pissed. Because it's like, as soon as he turned, because he's got the same type of rifle that the Mandalorian has. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, who is this dude? As soon as he turns around, I saw who it was. I'm like,
ooh.
Like I started freaking out. My son was like, who is that? Who is that? I'm like, that's fucking Boba Fett. And he's like, holy crap. And so we're both freaking out. And then it was over. I was like, oh no. But like, oh my God, it was so exciting. I had so much fun watching it.
Do they show you a like a sneak peek into the next episode?
Not that I cared to watch because I had other stuff I had to do this morning. Because was like early this morning that I watched it.
Because sometimes they give you like a little sneak peek into the next episode.
See,
like
I don't want a sneak peek.
Really?
No, because I want to be like excited as soon as it happens, you know?
But they would give you, it would give you even like a more excitement though, I think.
I don't know. Because like,
They can't ruin it for you. Like, they can't.
No.
Most of the times it's like something so insignificant, but they make it seem like such a big thing, even though it's really not most of the time anyways.
But a lot of the stuff that they teased leading up to the release of this new season happened in episode one.
Oh, okay.
So then that means there is an entire season of footage they haven't shown us.
Shit.
So I'm like, what's going to happen?
I wonder, you know what I just wondered right now?
Yeah.
I wondered if a lot of these characters and this Mandalorian thing, I wonder if they have seen like the actual final product of it.
A lot of them don't until it releases.
Because I remember, funny story.
Hashtag here's the thing.
Here's the thing. When I used to watch soap operas in Spanish, like the Mexican novellas, right? I remember specifically there was one that was a weird, had a whole bunch of twists and turns to it. Like, most of them are pretty similar. Like, they had a plot where, you know, like, the poor girl falls in love with the rich, you know, hot stud, and you know, like, but he doesn't want anything to do with her, blah blah. You know, same plot.
Yeah.
There was one in particular though that I can't remember exactly how it went down, but there is a, it was like the stepmom. There's a stepmom that became, or there is a. How did it go down?
I don't know. I'm very excited to find out.
So it was supposed to be a it was supposed to be like a twin sister that became like the she was like the evil sister, but she was like the nice sister at first. Well, okay, she was a nice sister, but damn, I can't remember how the fuck it went down. Honestly, I don't remember. But here's the thing. Here's the thing though.
Hashtag here's the thing.
There was a killer in the, and there was a killer in this fucking, this soap opera, right?
Right.
But the thing is that none of the characters knew who it was, but they would always make it seem like, there's clues that would make it, there was clues that would make it seem that it was like them, and come to find out it wasn't them. And nobody knew who it was.
Did you ever find out who it was?
Well, at the end of it, yes. But even during the whole production of it, nobody really knew who it was. Like they there were certain episodes that, based on what they, their actual like things that they did, it almost make it seem like they're the killers. But come to find out, there's a reason behind what they were doing. It was, even though it looked funny at first, like it looks very suspicious. There was an actual reason why they were doing it.
So they justified their actions.
Yes.
So they weren't the killer.
Yeah, they weren't the killer.
Hmm.
And at the very end of the, I mean, this is like a long, like probably like a half a year or so running soap opera. Like at the very end, they finally released who it was. But I think they went back and they said like nobody knew who it was. Like nobody knew, like in the whole production, like the actors, nobody knew who it was.
That's cool.
So like, nobody could ruin
it. Well, like I remember when the first Star Wars of the newest series, so that would be Force Awakens, came out. A lot of the cast members hadn't seen finished product.
Right.
So then there was a couple of videos that were released with the cast members watching the first trailers and having their reactions to certain scenes, because they can't talk about what happens.
Right.
You know, because they have these contracts that they sign. So then seeing how excited they are for people to see what they're doing was so cool. But this new season, I'm like super excited because from what I understand and from what I've gathered, that Mandalorian is definitely opening doors for more live action projects.
Okay.
And if they're handled with the same care as Mandalorian has, they're going to be amazing. Like, they've already confirmed an Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which starts filming next year. There are rumors of a live-action series based off of a couple of characters from the animated Star Wars series Rebels.
Okay.
There is a confirmed series with two characters from the movie Rogue One that are getting their own origin series. So, I mean, there's all these live-action shows that are going to start happening that are within the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that they... what's the name? It's called like the new era or something like that. They basically started a new realm of Star Wars storytelling that happens outside of the Skywalker saga.
Jeez.
And they start way before all this happened, so it's all different stories, mostly like comic books, novels, and stuff like that. There's definitely talk about
whoa.
That one stuck up on me. I was anyway,
that's what she said.
Okay. So there's a lot of talk about shows happening within those stories and stuff like that, but then also there is a rumor of a particular Jedi that may make his own appearance either in a movie or a show. And right now it's rumored that how do you say his name? Shia LaBeouf might play him.
Wow.
And like I read this article about it, I'm like, you know what? I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't know, you know, obviously I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I think just based on what I know about him, he's a really artistic actor, meaning like he's not just one of those actors that's like acting. He's just like there's a lot more behind the actual acting. I mean, he's been acting for a long time, so
almost like a method actor.
Sure, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
Basically somebody who can potentially lose themselves in a character.
Oh yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
Do you know who Daniel Day-Lewis is?
Sounds familiar, but
did you see Last Mohicans?
Yes, a long time ago.
He's the main character.
Oh, okay.
How do I say this politically correct? He's the white Native American. Sure. I mean, I don't know how to say that,
sure,
but
sure.
But he played. There was a new release of the movie Lincoln. He played Abraham Lincoln.
Oh no shit!
He was in Gangs of New York.
Oh yeah.
In the Name of the Father.
And the Holy Spirit.
No. Anyway. so he is definitely a method actor.
Right.
If I remember correctly, he during filming of Lincoln, he would stay in character like until he left the set.
Right.
For the day.
See, I think that's too much, man.
See,
I don't know, man. Like we've been through this already to a certain degree, right?
Right.
I understand like so it's almost to a point where not comparatively same boat, but it's kind of like if you look at our jobs and some people that are super like freaking loyal, obsessive with the job itself. I mean, that would be that's how I would see somebody in that role where they're a little too obsessive. With their roles. I mean, like, okay, a part of you, like, you know, if you go in, I mean, what I would do if I was in that situation, I would probably go to, like, well, I've been to the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, which is, to me, that was one of the nicest places in D.C., was the Lincoln Memorial, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty cool. I would go there and just do a whole bunch of research, but just to be in character throughout the whole time until you leave the set, to me, that's a little obsessive.
See, I think, I don't know. I think that adds.
That's how people go crazy.
Yeah. Well, there was a documentary that was released specifically about Jim Carrey during the filming of Man on the Moon, where he portrayed a comedian.
Uh-huh.
What's the guy's name? I can't remember it now. I'm going to hate myself for it, too.
And I didn't even watch that movie. Now I think about
it. And honestly, the name's going to hit me like. In the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up and be like, that's who it was. Anyway, this documentary was about how he was in character the whole time. Like
throughout the whole.
Yeah. Like he would show up on set in this character. And one thing about this character was that he was always on.
Right.
You know, some stand-up comedians, like in general, they're as soon as they get on the stage, they have a persona and they do their thing. But then, as soon as they step off the stage, they're a different person. Mm-hmm. With this comedian, he was on all the time.
Right. So I can see like two people that I can think of.
Think of
two people that I can think of that would probably be like that would be Will Ferrell. I think that he would probably be somebody like that and. The guy from The Office,
Steve Carell.
I think that he would be like that too.
Yeah.
For some reason, those are two people that just automatically like, yeah, I can see that them being like super like into their roles where they're always like that.
But see, I think again, I think there is something about method acting that allows the actors to truly, embody the character they're trying to
persuade
not persuade
pervasive no per
no
persuade but, Did I
no,
say that already?
No, oh. not persuade. Okay. But definitely
personify.
Sure. The character they're trying to be. I can't even think of the word, so I'm moving on. So the fact that they're trying to be this person, but they're...
I think I have an influence on you.
Probably. So the fact that they're essentially becoming these characters is amazing. Another one that...
Now, I don't mean to interrupt. Hashtag. I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, this is it. Here's the thing.
Well, I got to put mine in there too.
All right. Hashtag. Here's the thing.
You say that the character that they're trying to be, you think that it's can it be the opposite though? Meaning, there's a lot of unless there's like a specific person, for example, him wanting to be Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
I see there's a narrative that they had to follow, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's like kind of like a made up comedian or role,
mm-hmm.
would you say that most of their personality is coming out into that role itself?
That's a hard question.
Ooh.
When you do a movie that's based on real people,
right.
they have a lot of stuff to take from history. Yeah, that's facts and behaviors and stuff like that.
I wouldn't call them facts. I would call them theories.
Uh-huh. So when you have a method actor who takes on the role of a fictional character, but then is still in a way a method actor.
Right.
A perfect example was Heath Ledger for his Joker role.
Right.
Where it is told that before he took the role, he talked with the director, and the right. director's like, listen, he's like, I want you to make this what you want it. Right. I have certain guidelines. He's like, but make this what you want it to be. And then I'm not going to say it's fact, but it's enough of the stuff where I've seen it repeated a number of times where he spent the next 3 months locked away. And he came up with the Joker character.
Right.
To an extent of he did his own makeup.
Ooh.
And all these other things and all these little quirks that made up that Joker. And honestly, personally, and of course people will say the greatest Joker ever was Mark Hamill. It's like, no offense to Mark Hamill, you provided the voice.
Right.
Still awesome. Heath Ledger provided an embodiment of the Joker.
Now, I agree with you. However,
hashtag here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Would you say that he improved upon what Jokers have? No, I wouldn't say improved upon, because maybe that's a little harsh to say improved upon, because ultimately, whoever played the Joker before, you know, had their own perception of what the Joker should be, but maybe kind of build upon what the Joker was, and kind of took a little bit from each Joker in a sense, and made it to be something a little bit different based on Heath Ledger's perception.
I'm sure Heath Ledger would say yes, he did take stuff from other Jokers,
because it could be intuitively and I'm using big ass words. Why am I trying to use big ass words? Maybe he didn't mean to take it, but sometimes, you know, unfortunately.
I personally would say no.
Okay.
Because if you look at the Jokers, at least when it came to either animated series or the original, 1960s show. I mean, right. you know.
Was that old, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Each one was so total. Like, each Joker, if you look at them individually, are so completely different. With the Tim Burton Batman, he and the Joker,
right?
It was very comical. He was definitely messed up and everything, but it was very campy almost. Heath Ledger's Joker not only was a convincing Joker in the sense of the character itself,
right.
but it was a convincing, realistic Joker. Like, I could definitely see somebody snapping to the point of becoming like this guy.
Like a, I'll say sadistic, but not again, I'm trying to use a big ass word again. What the hell is going on?
Definitely. See, that's the thing, though. He brought that character to life.
Right.
What an article I've read a number of times, because I think it's fascinating, is a lot of the cast, the first time they saw him in person when filming scenes, they were so put off by him that it was weird, and it showed in the video, like in the movie, not video. like the first time, what's his name? Fuck, who's the fucking butler? Oh my god, I can't even think.
I was gonna say Jeeves.
No, Alfred. Holy okay, fuck! Alfred,
yeah.
I was about to turn in my nerd card right there for a second. So the first time Alfred sees the Joker is at this big fundraiser, and it's said that he had a line before the Joker came off the elevator. But as soon as the Joker comes off the elevator, he takes a shotgun, shoots it in the air. And Alfred was, at least the actor Michael Caine, was so like shocked by the appearance and the atmosphere of this one character, he completely forgot his lines. And Heath Ledger just kept going.
Really?
Because they weren't going to. And a lot of his mannerisms and stuff like that were Heath Ledger. He wanted to add these things.
Holy shit.
One thing that they keep saying was there's at one point where the Joker blows up a hospital.
Uh-huh. Whoa.
And when he does it, he presses the button and nothing happens. So he looks at the thing, whacks it a little bit, looks at the hospital, keeps pressing, and he just kind of, okay, whatever. And then it blows up and he's like, oh shit. And then he like freaks out and then runs off. He at least is told that that's a genuine reaction because they didn't set the charges properly or just some shit like that. So, I mean, Heath Ledger had the mind enough to make something completely his own. Yes, and maybe have taken stuff from other Jokers, but he brought in a lot of personal stuff. Like he dressed up as a nurse at one point to be able to sneak into a hospital.
Yeah.
Apparently, like that's a personal thing. Like fuck, what was it? It was a callback to his childhood where he and his sister were like, they were like, you know, she would dress up as a nurse or something like that. Oh, like, you all right over there?
Averting something. Whoa.
Yeah, see, the thing about these drinks is they make you burp in funny ways.
But I had some hot and sour soup today, so.
Oh, no. And so it's, I mean, he.
I wonder what really happened to him, though. Like, I never really. So, is there a conspiracy behind a lot of them?
There is a theory that one of the Olsen twins.
What?
No. Hold on. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That actually knows what happened.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Because it was either him or no, it was her and either a housekeeper or somebody that found him.
Whoa.
And knew him personally, but won't discuss it.
Whoa.
But at the same time, he was known to be on a lot of medications from different doctors that they say that a good doctor would not prescribe knowing that he was on this or that.
Wow.
Which is a bummer because his last movie, I actually watched over a year after his death. Like, and it came out a year after he died.
Okay.
Which was The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, I think the name was. Where in the movie, they have two different versions. They have the real world, quote unquote, stuff. And then they have the Imaginarium, quote unquote, stuff. Mm. Where all of his filming for the real world stuff was done. And after he died, they hadn't finished the Imaginarium stuff. So then Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Firth? I think that's his name. I know who it is. I can picture his face. I can't think of his name. It took three actors to finish the movie.
Wow.
But the thing is, they said, hey, because of the situation, whatever you were going to pay us, give it to his kid. Because at the time, his daughter was, like, super young. Right. Like, yeah, super young. So, I mean, so that movie, watching it and seeing him, like, it made me sad. Because, right. like, honestly, I think at that point in time, he was at the starting of an incredible rise to his career.
Right. Well, if you kind of think about it, I mean, he was with that last movie, well, not the one that you watched, but mm-hmm. just the Joker itself. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that took him to a whole new level.
Well, he got an Academy Award for it.
Wow.
And a lot of the nerdy folks that I've talked to say he only got it because he died. Mm. I disagree.
Even I would even disagree myself, because I've heard before that where did I see that? Unless I heard it from you too, but I don't know that somebody, or I must have read it, where somebody was at the movie theater, and when they were watching that movie itself, mm-hmm. When the Joker, when he does this whole thing, mm-hmm. somebody got up and started applauding. When he kills a whole bunch of shit, people started applauding.
Yeah.
Or a guy stands up and starts applauding. And people are just fucking, like, looking at him like, what the hell? Are you okay? Like,
it
would have creeped me out, to be honest. Like, if you get up and start applauding him killing people and shit, that would make me, like, wonder about you.
At least from what I have read online, a cool little tidbit was, in the movie, there are these movies that the Joker releases of him killing people pretending to be Batman.
Oh, okay.
And they're shot in a home movie sense. Mm-hmm. And from what I understood, it sounded like that Heath Ledger was given full creative... I'm so blanking on words tonight. Holy shit. Creative direction of these home movies.
Right. I think you gave me some of these... some of these powers, because
it's the fucking seltzers, dude. I mean, we got to be drinking real stuff. That
because I think I'm trying to use some big words today, and then like it kind of backfires on me a little bit, because I'm like halfway through the like trying to say this big ass word, and I was like, no, you don't know this word. You don't know this word.
That word doesn't mean that. So it's rumored that he had the full creative direction for these home videos, and they were creepy, but they were Joker realistically creepy.
Right.
Crazy. It was and people are like, well, it's just a comic book movie, and it's like, no. He definitely took a big step in this movie.
So I wonder if you have to have a little bit of like do you think that he was partially kind of out there? Meaning to be able to pull this off as like your own creative juices, like there has to be something wrong with you, because me myself, like I don't know if I could able to come up with such mm-hmm. a morbid, you know what I mean?
I disagree. Mostly because first off, for me,
right.
if I had the opportunity to play the Joker,
right.
one, I'd be terrified, because trying to live up to something like that mm-hmm. would be incredibly difficult. Two, I'd be insanely excited, because I could genuinely act crazy and it'd be okay. Because, well, no, because like that's the one thing that I think that why actors keep doing their work, right. because they get to live an embodiment of these characters they'll never be.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
So the fact that he, especially if you look at his career, and specifically Heath Ledger, he's always been the hero. He's always been the good guy. He's always been the...
Ten Things I Hate About You.
Again, he was the good guy. I mean, you know, so shit like that. He was always the romantic or whatever.
Yeah.
He got a role where he was like, okay, I can let all the crazy out and it'd be okay.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to think about, because that is a very... I'll say a very specific, I won't say specific, but a very out there role where you're definitely have to use a lot of your...
You got to dig deep.
Yeah, you gotta use your fucking, like, mm-hmm. your talent, you know?
Yeah.
You got to lose all kinds of embarrassing and be really the fuck out there to be able to, you know what I mean? Because you can play a doctor because you can be serious and you're like, well,
I concur.
Yeah, okay. or a politician or pretty much anything. But when you're acting crazy, but because that's I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you. Hashtag. what's the guy's name? Steve Carroll. When he
Carroll. Steve Carroll.
Steve Carroll. When he played that, he played a coach. He played a NBA coach.
He did?
Yeah, not NBA. College coach.
He did? And what?
It was a very serious movie too. So it took a lot for.
Are you sure it was Steve Carroll?
I'm not too sure, but.
What the fuck?
I'm pretty sure it was him though.
What was the name of the movie?
Coach Carter. No, I don't know.
No, that was not Steve Carell.
No, I don't remember what the name of the movie was, but it was actually one of those movies that was
okay.
I'm pretty sure it was him though.
Because he
had to dress up. He had to dress up and he had a.
Are you sure it wasn't like the like a Wall Street movie? Fuck. It had, that had a number of. He had like Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey in it.
Let me look it up real quick.
But hey, this is a perfect time for us to pay some bills and take a break. So, hey, we'll be right back from. No, fuck. Holy shit. I totally lost it. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, which is basically us. So, we'll be back.
This the Warehouse Rats. This the Warehouse Rats.
And
we're blind.
Oh, no.
Dude.
Stop it.
Sorry. Damn, this does give you a lot of fucking gas.
Yeah, man. It's like, maybe we need to drink like real alcohol. Because this definitely feels like fake alcohol.
It does. But it still hits, though.
Yeah, you have to have like 10 of them.
Damn, it does have a lot of
All right. Well, thank you for letting me get my nerd boner taken care of.
Pretty much, I milked you for all you had.
Excuse me, Jesus.
Yes.
Yay!
Oh, shit.
Anyways.
Brody talk. We should, you know what we should do?
What?
We should have like a little preset that says Brody talk, Brody talk, Brody talk. And then I should talk to Brody and be like, hey, can you record something? Me to just say Brody talk real quick, like.
Yeah, that's not weird at all.
That's not weird at all. Just run away. once she records, like once she says something, like, what do you mean Brody talk? Thank you.
And then run up. Yeah. Giggling.
I think I can make that happen, Josh.
Okay. I'm not going to stop you, bro.
I haven't seen her in a little bit, so.
Okay. I actually saw her the other day.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
I saw her.
She was marching. So.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yep. So, on today's Brody Talk, we're going to talk about Brody stuff.
Okay.
So, my week was really interesting. I called in the other day. I was sick.
Yep.
But once I got better, though, I had an awesome day.
Yeah.
So, what did I do that day? I went on a shopping spree. I went to the mall. I haven't been to the mall in a really long time. Bought myself a coffee.
Like in the mall?
In the mall.
From where?
It's called Gloria's Coffee. It's okay.
Was it like one of those weird like kiosks in the middle or is it like an actual shop?
It's an actual shop. It's like, right in the entrance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a legit place.
So you spent like $20 just on coffee.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know what? It kind of made me mad though because all I asked was a fucking like an iced coffee. And a whole bunch of people got there, so he was taking everybody's order and shit. I'm just like fucking waiting for my iced coffee, and he was the only one there. So I'm just like, dude, can you just give me my iced coffee?
Man, that's why I just gotta get, I just got a Big B's.
Yeah, I like Big B's.
I like Big B's too. Yeah.
So, I got two topics to talk about today.
Oh shit!
I know, might be maybe three.
Or hit
four,
me.
Or four.
Hit me.
Depends on where we go. So I was looking for a pair of shoes, right? Mm-hmm. And. I go into the shop, I go into Champs, and I don't see anything particular, you know, I was like...
Jams?
Champs.
Champs. Yeah. I thought you said jams. I'm like, that's sure. A thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I didn't see anything that I really liked. I didn't want to spend too much money, but at the same time, I didn't, you know, I wanted something nice, but, I didn't find anything, so I just walked over to some other place, and then I was going to go into another place, another shoe shop.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a very good looking saleswoman there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm
salesperson. You don't know how she identifies.
I can see she has some boobs and some booties.
You don't know that she identifies as such. Salesperson, yes. Ricardo.
She had it.
We need to be beast. PC.
Beast. Yes, I would have gone beast on that. Beast. No. So I saw her from far away. I'm like, I was going to go in there. But then I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not going to go in there because there's nobody in there besides her. And here's the thing. Hashtag
here's the thing.
I've been to other stores where I'm the only motherfucker there. And there is a good looking employee there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't come out very good for me. But I'll explain. Back in 2000. I would say 18.
Yeah, that was forever ago. I know.
2018, roughly. Uh-huh. I went into my local Costco store. I was just... It was like 8 o'clock. I was just browsing the aisles because I had nothing to do.
At Costco?
I know. Don't judge me. Where's the judgment-free zone? I go in there...
Safe space.
Safe space. I go in there because I legit just wanted to fucking... I had nothing to do. So I just wanted to go in there and then just like fuck around for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I might have gone... I might want to go to the gym afterwards, but I'm not... I can't remember. I can't say for sure.
Right.
So I go in there and legit, dude, this... I was like one of the only people around there. That's and there was this cute little thing there that was... of all things, she was selling pillows.
Pillows?
Pillows, like, yeah, sleep.
Okay.
She was selling pillows, bamboo pillows, to be exact.
Bamboo pillows? Okay. What the hell is that?
So it is a pillow that's, you know, like natural pillow, but it's stuffed with bamboo, I'm not too sure, bamboo shavings? I'm not too sure what it's made out of, but it's bamboo.
So mulch?
In a sense, probably yes. It's kind of like the eco-friendly version of your Tempur-Pedic.
But it's bamboo.
But it's bamboo. I don't know how they do it. Don't know. Don't care.
Whoa.
Ricardo went in there just to fuck around. This girl, cute little thing.
She wanted you to buy a pillow.
Not only did she want me to buy a pillow, I fucking bought a pillow. Not only did I buy a pillow, I bought two fucking pillows. And it pissed me off because I wasn't expecting to buy no... I didn't need no fucking pillows. You right. Know?
So and why did you buy one?
Because she tricked me into it. Okay. So when I saw this chick over there at the shoe store, I said, hell no, because I'm the only motherfucker that's going in there right now. And she's going to use her smile, and she's going to use her booty, and she's going to make me buy the fucking the pair of shoes that I don't need, that I don't like, for $200. And right. I'm not going to have that.
Jays.
Sure.
Yeah.
So my question, and I don't know if you can answer this, do you believe that females sometimes have it a little bit easier when it comes to a lot of things? Do you believe that they have it a little bit easier? Because I feel like...
In regard,
hold on.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Because, my bad. because in this era of the Me Too movement, I don't know, it's not as strong as it was before, but yes, in this era of the Me Too movement, and don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. I believe in the Me Too movement. I believe in women's rights and this and that, and, mm-hmm. and how women can be definitely be a minority mm-hmm. in a sense. You know what I mean? I will empathize. Yes, there you go. With the women, because I love women. However, here's the thing. Hashtag
here's the thing.
I feel sometimes women have it a little bit easier at times. And in this situation, I feel like she would have definitely took advantage of me. I don't appreciate that. What do you think?
When it comes to in-person sales and customer service,
right?
I do believe that right. women have a slightly easier time. Yes. Due to most men being horn dogs. I mean,
that hurts.
Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, but here's the thing. Also, women who identify and on the homosexual spectrum, it's same thing. You know, if a gal walks in there who fancies ladies, and is like, hey. How's it going? And like, hey, you should buy these $200 shoes. I'm absolutely going to buy $200 shoes from you. So, I mean, it goes both ways. Exactly.
No, I just, so it reminds me of when I used to work for Boost Mobile, right? I had a coworker that she was a very good looking girl. Mm-hmm. And even at one point, I wasn't like a top salesman at all, but don't get me wrong. Like, I could sell water to whales, so I knew what I was doing. You know what I mean? I could sell water to whales. Yeah. Hey, what you know about that? So yeah, so I was definitely I would consider myself a not a great salesman, but definitely not your average, but maybe a slightly above average salesman.
Okay,
where. I wouldn't upsell you right away, or I wouldn't make you buy like the most expensive thing. I would build your trust, and think. Well, I think for the most part, I definitely had most of the customers, best interest at heart, to be honest. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot of people that I was just like, I would definitely see like an opportunity to definitely upsell them for a lot of stuff, and knowing that they would do it, or I can convince them to do it, I would definitely take advantage of it.
Okay.
But brings me back to the point where I had a coworker that she was a very good looking girl, and I would tell her, like, hey, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you should use your looks as, take advantage of them where you can really do some damage to a lot of people. Not in a way where, like, you definitely don't want to sell them of $1,000 phone if they don't need it, if they can't afford it. But, if they buy a...
Do you make commission?
Well, yeah.
Then fuck yeah, sell them $1,000 phone. Nah, God, dude, that's the whole point of commission.
Well, there's the difference is that not all. So, there was a certain you wouldn't make commissions on phones, per se. At least when I was working, sometimes you would make commissions on like the accessories and stuff. So like if you would sell them like a case for the phone, a screen protector, blah blah. Right. Or a car charger. Sometimes he would do some monthly competitions. Whoever sold X amount, then you would get that prize or whatever. And I think afterwards, it became a little bit more consistent, where you would actually get a commission per how much it was. But
okay.
I would tell her like, hey, you know what? Use your good looks as far as just.
I don't think you can say shit like that.
This was not a fucking like a HR.
You sure?
Oh, I'm sure. I was HR. No, I wasn't HR, but definitely. No.
Why you say HR so weird?
What? How did I say?
A lot of emphasis on the H.
I don't know.
HR.
No, but I was. See, you made me lose my train of thought. So,
sorry.
It was a small, mom and pop shop. So it wasn't like.
Boost Mobile's a small mom and pop shop.
Yes, it is, because it's independently owned. So I mean, it's franchise owned. So even though it's a nation brand, it's not like it's not corporate owned. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Carry on.
Okay. So yeah, I would definitely tell her like once in a while, like, hey, you should probably use your good looks, and you know. Mm-hmm. Did she? I think that she probably did at times, not even knowing that she did. But if I had her looks, I bet y'all would still be working there, making all kinds of money.
Well, let me ask you this, Ricardo.
Go ahead.
How many times do you tip better for your waitresses who happen to be more attractive?
Oh, that's no doubt that I would.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's definitely there. Does it make it right? Probably not. But at the same time, it's still there. So mm-hmm. it's like you have this opportunity to either make more money. Like, I worked with a gal. This was forever ago now. She had recently gotten a new position as a waitress at a national chain restaurant. Or
Red
whatever.
Lobster.
No.
Subway.
So she and I got chatting, and she was like, honestly, she's like, what I make in a week here, because she was working as a waitress and at the shop I was working at. Uh-huh. She's like, what I make in a week at the shop, if I work hard enough, I can make that in 2 days at the restaurant.
Jeez.
I was like, fuck's sake. No. No. She couldn't work at Hooters.
Whoa. Why not?
Because she had nothing there.
Oh.
I mean, I think that's kind of like a prerequisite. You have to be like a C cup or higher.
That's a stereotype. I applied. Don't trust me.
Did they make you put on the white tank top?
That'd be hilarious.
Did you wear the shorts?
No. That's why I didn't get a job. No. I'm not trying to say that the Me Too movement is irrelevant or anything like that, but I do feel that a lot of times women do have it a little bit easier when it comes to, especially when it comes to jobs like that, where mm-hmm. where they're in such where they're on a retail or mm-hmm. a service oriented business. When it comes to corporate jobs, I think they still have a little bit slighter advantage. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. there comes a little. Sometimes it comes a time where it might be a little bit. Unfortunately, where they can come off as like, hey, just because I'm a good-looking person does not mean that I should get this job, mm-hmm. or don't expect me to do a favor for you just because mm-hmm. I want to go up and you know what I mean. Or not only that, even if they are qualified to do a certain job or be in a certain position, mm-hmm. People automatically will stereotype them and be like, you know, the only reason that she got that job is because she is a fairly good-looking person or whatever. And even myself, I've done it myself where I look at some people, I'm like, you know what, I generally think that because they're good-looking people, a person, girl, mm-hmm. a female, that's why she got that job, or at least partly why she got that job.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a weird double standard, especially when it comes to like commission-based jobs or right. Tip-based jobs and stuff like that, where like, especially people who are like, well, you should take women seriously and you should. And okay, first off, let me say that I do take women seriously, and there should absolutely be 100% equal rights between male, female, or however you choose to identify in the workplace. Okay, so don't take anything that I'm saying right now as I'm a woman hater or anything like that. You shut your face, all right?
All right.
I learned some Spanish today.
What'd you learn?
Hang on. Because I recently had an update on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to learn how to say a particular phrase.
What was that?
Well, hang on. I gotta look.
So you didn't learn it. You just know where to find it at.
No, I'm trying to learn it, but it has me giggling because it's so much fun. All right, so we're going to take a slight break from Brody Talk and go into Spanish Talk. Fuck, I'm like super nervous that I'm going to say it wrong. Okay. Mola las tetas en bueno.
No, fuck. Hermano. I fucking said it wrong.
Wow.
What did I say?
If I'm move them tit or move your tits, brother. That's
no, cool your tits, bro.
Oh, okay.
So hang on. Oh, nope. It didn't do it. Oh, here we go. Again. Fuck. Hang on. Okay, so I wanna share this.
Mola las tetas, hermano.
Wow.
How did we get here? I'm so lost.
I don't know. How, where'd you find that at? Or why would you?
There was Jesus. Oh, my phone had a recent update, and for some reason it added a translate app.
Oh, nice.
And apparently the first language that it had on there was Spanish.
Well,
so I was curious. I was like, how do I say cool your tits, bro, in Spanish? And apparently that's how you say it.
Wow. Well, I think that's because I heard that Joe Biden's going to win. And once he wins, unfortunately, it's going to be open borders, socialism, and...
Dude, this is not the thing to be talking about here.
Oh, shit. No, the other thing that I want to talk about, man, I just... I talked to you a little bit about it before, but I had a buddy who unfortunately passed away this past week. Was it this past week? I don't remember if it was this past week or not. I think it must have been. I can't remember. This week's been kind of weird. But it was really weird because, it was almost like this weird feeling that just growing up with this character, right, with this mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. He's such a good, nice guy. And whether or not he deserved to die is, you know, that's something different, right? My question is why, maybe it's just me, but I feel like there are certain people like that die, even though I don't talk with them or talk to them on a regular basis, and I might not even been like I might not even have talked to them in quite a few years, which in this case that's what that really was. But why do people get sad? You know what I mean? Like internally, right? You automatically, or for me, I automatically, man, I miss that. I mean, I'm going to miss him, you know? But then I'm like, I started thinking about it. Like, I haven't talked to him in a really long time. And I most likely wasn't even going to talk to him in a while. So why do you think that is?
Well, I think the average human being that has a heart, and I say heart with more of a sensibility kind of thing, because when you hear somebody's passed away, right. I mean, genuinely, you should be like, oh, well that sucks, because anytime right. somebody loses their life is tragic.
Right.
When it happens to be somebody you know, I think it hits a little closer to home uh-huh. because you're like, oh man, I knew this person. Right. Like I grew up, our next door neighbor, was a great guy, and we had at the time we had a really long driveway up to our house, and right. at the end of our driveway was a part of where his property was. He always had a garden there, and more times than not he was always in his garden right. doing stuff like that. And sadly enough, he passed away suddenly, a massive heart attack.
Wow.
Which is terrible. And like I honestly think it was like just a few days before I was walking to a friend's house, and at the time it was like a 2 mile walk, and wow. so I'm like halfway there, and he stopped. He's like, hey, he's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm heading this way. And he's like, well, hop in. He's like, let me give you a ride. So which was cool. And you know, so he was a really nice guy, and then just finding out he passed away was like, holy crap. And
right.
so like I think when people pass away that we know, we definitely spend more time reflecting on the time maybe we spent with them, or the time we wish we spent with them.
Right.
It's rough though, because it I think a part of it depends on what part of your life you knew them in.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people I knew, like, back in high school where I hung out with them on a regular basis, right. And we were really good friends. And, you know, years later, I hear one of them or a few of them are in terrible situations.
Right.
It's like, what could I, and maybe this is me, just me personally. It's like, right. What could I have done differently in hopes they wouldn't have gone down that path?
Right.
And chances are that is just me. But especially with knowing somebody who's passed away, and then you spend a lot of time thinking about it. Like this person, like, right. Was this somebody you hung out with on the regular, or did you just know them?
No, I mean, he was in my grade, so we definitely grew up together. I mean, I definitely had a lot of memories. I mean, mm-hmm. Not like outside of school, I don't think there was that many memories, mm-hmm. if any. But mm-hmm. I mean, when you know, we go through school, first to 12th at least, and if not even more with kindergarten and stuff. But I don't remember kindergarten. But if you kind of think about it, I mean, it's a lot of years together. And you're just kind of like, you grow up together. And even though you're not the best of friends, I mean, you're still, I mean, so for me anyways, because I grew up in a small town, you know everybody. So you know everybody on a name basis, and you know their family, and kind of like, damn. You know, even though you don't consider them family, but, I mean, you know them really well, you know what I mean? Even though you kind of disconnected from them from, you know, not like from now you're I'm an adult, I think, anyways. We've gone separate ways, obviously, even with some of my family, but it's almost kind of like goes hand in hand a little bit, where it's like, damn, even though he's, you know, he unfortunately went down the wrong path.
Yeah.
He's still a good guy. He was just kind of lost.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's very unfortunate. And I think it's safe to say that a lot of folks, when this kind of thing happens where they know somebody and then they have passed away under kind of crappy circumstances, right. Where we kind of internally think, oh, maybe I could have done something to prevent it and stuff like that. But I think also that's maybe mostly just a coping mechanism. Right. To where we're like, okay, how can I get through this person's passing without either falling into a deep depression or seeming like I don't care at all?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of one of those things like I kind of wish I didn't care as much, and which is really weird to think about, but I just like, damn, man, it's just to think about that's somebody who you... Like I say, somebody who you knew really well, or I don't say really well, but somebody who you grew up with and they're the same age as you now, like they're not there, and it's kind of a weird feeling. They're just, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm too empathetic.
No, I think that's, see, personally, I think that's healthy, especially somebody, even if you weren't like best friends, if you knew enough long enough. Mm-hmm. The fact that they passed away, that should affect you. And of course, you know, we're in the day and age of everybody complaining about one thing or another. There's a difference between having an opinion and genuinely caring about something.
Right.
Even if you guys weren't best of friends, the fact that somebody has lost their life or passed away from one thing or another and that it affects you, that's okay. Mm. Because if it didn't, honestly, I think you're a little cold. I mean, like, you know, like, and maybe it's just me, because if... even if I hear like somebody that I grew up with is just having a bad time, I'm like, well, fuck, that's terrible. While I, you know, I get a ball up in arms, especially if like, you know, if somebody passes away, it's like, fuck.
Right. And I don't know too many people that have passed away from my graduating class, to be honest. I'll say that, but I think that's probably the only one that I know that has passed away. Right. And I said, it was really stupid how he passed away too, which is, you know, unfortunate. But like I said, that's besides the point. I mean, it's not really,
right.
It's not really a, there's no reason for me to get into why he or how he passed away. But,
right.
You know, like I just feel bad for his sister because I kind of knew his sister a little bit.
Right.
His parents, I didn't know him, but his sister I knew a little bit, so.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Hopefully he's resting now. Like I said, I think he was a really lost person.
Mm.
You know, he's just kind of one of those people who, there's just something that didn't click correctly, you know what I mean? Which is really lost in I don't say mine, but definitely was searching for something that he couldn't find, so.
Yeah, and... It seems, especially nowadays, that there are a lot of lost people out there who are quick to grab onto things that aren't the best things to grab onto, you know?
Right.
And it's like, dude, take an extra 20 minutes and just... really think this one through. It's like, is this something you really want to do or be a part of?
Right.
Like, especially with a lot of the protests and rallies and stuff like that are going on, that have been going on right now, and certain things that have happened because of these things. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, so did this situation really need to happen?
Right.
One in particular, being the a protester that lost their life because of another individual who who traveled to a different state to do something.
Protect the freedom, Josh.
Sure. personal opinion here, if you have that much patriotism,
yeah,
if that's what you want to call it, join the fucking military.
Right.
Okay. Don't arm yourself with whatever weapon you can and then travel to a different state and then try to defend something. Well, just join the military. Jesus.
I don't think he was even old enough, though.
He
must have been like 17 years old, I think. He wasn't.
Unless it's changed. The last I knew, you can legally purchase a rifle younger than you can purchase a handgun.
Oh, shit.
I remember correctly.
No, what I'm saying is like, I think he was 17 years. I think he was 17 years old, so I don't even think, unless, I don't know how old you got to be to join the army or the military.
Oh, but fuck. I think you can. People fake their ages to get in that shit all the time.
Well, yeah, but you gotta show some proof of something. Yeah. Papers, you know. Nah. I don't know. But no, it's just you're right though. I never even thought about that. If you're so patriotic, why don't you just join the military and you know, fight for something that you really, you know, believe in.
That's why more times than not, when I see either videos or whatever it is about these people, like, oh, I love my country and America and, you right. know, you know, bullshit like that. It's like, okay, first off, whatever. It's like, you can be whatever kind of white trash you want to be.
Whoa.
But here's the thing.
There's some fighting wars.
If you genuinely love your country that much.
Yeah.
Do the biggest thing you can and join the military.
Yeah, to me, that's definitely a sacrifice that I'm not, you know, I wasn't never really, except for when I first graduated from high school, but I was never really, after that, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know what I mean? Just because it was such a big commitment. You know, you just had to leave your family and potentially be in a life-or-death situation.
I just didn't want to. Right. I mean, the only thing that genuinely had me interested in joining the military was shooting guns. Mm. That is genuinely it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm sometimes... There are times I'm very proud to be an American citizen and be a part of...
Rice?
What the fuck?
Right.
So, I mean, there are times when, like, that feeling of patriotism is definitely there. But a part of me is like, I don't think I could handle being in the military just because of just how I am. I think it would affect me in a very poor way. Like, I'd be one of those people, like, did you ever see Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
Where you have the dude, like, in the middle of the night, you know, like, in his underwear. This rifle is mine! You know, like, shooting people and shit like that. I mean, you know, I'm afraid I'd be that guy.
Right.
You know, who gets, like, whacked with, like, bars of soap and socks and, I mean...
Well, we have to call Mr. Whiskey up and see what he thinks of you joining the military.
Oh, fuck. No, I'm almost... fuck, I'm trying to remember what the age was.
You're still young enough.
Not much longer. No, I mean, I'm not going to do that. Especially joining with, like, a whole bunch of young whippersnappers. Yeah. I'd be like, you know, fuck you guys. You
so
know.
I saw on TikTok, I saw this video of, like, people, like, were, like, jumping out of the airplane. Like, the whole parachute and shit. I'm like, man, there's no fucking way I would be able to do that shit. Like, they're just... You know, the whole line, the whole zip line and shit, the way they jump out, like, nah.
Yeah, I think the first few times, I think I'd be weird about it, but I think after that, I'd be all right.
Nah, I can't do it.
Maybe we need to have Mr. Whiskey back.
Mr. Whiskey, yeah. If you're listening, dial 1-800-WarehouseRatsPodcast.com.
Nope. That's not a thing. If you call it, you're not gonna talk to us. But yeah, so maybe we need to revisit that.
Speaking about American patriotism, one of the last ones that I really want to talk about a little bit, very little bit, because conspiracies. I know. So I've been getting into a lot of conspiracies lately, and it's kind of weird because we're talking about how the Mother Teresa conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
That shit blew my mind a little bit, to be honest. I never in my life have heard anything bad about Mother Teresa. When I would hear about Mother Teresa, it was kind of always like one of those things that was she was such a nice person, blah blah. And then when I heard this fucking podcast about how potentially, allegedly corrupt she was, and almost I was gonna say exotic.
Not exotic.
No, I'm looking at a different word. Extremist. So they called her an extremist because she was legit probably not mean to do a lot of these things, but it was kind of like one of those Catholic extremists that, you know, I mean, that's a kind of an oxymoron, but it is what it is. She was a Catholic extremist where she believed so cold-heartedly of what her faith was that it was almost like detrimental to the Catholic faith because it was so out there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things where I was listening to a little bit before I even got here, before I picked you up as your personal Uber, because of the whole elections, the Statue of Liberty. Okay, so the Statue of Liberty, there are some conspiracies behind the Statue of Liberty. So the Statue of Liberty, essentially, from what the little that I read or that I was listening to, it wasn't even offered to us right away.
I thought it was a gift.
It was. It was re-gifted to us.
Re-gifted from France?
So it wasn't re-gifted, but it was kind of one of those things that they were going to gift it to Egypt originally, but they couldn't afford it or something like that because it...
Wait. How could they not afford it if it's a gift?
Because I think that there had to be... So I'm assuming. This is my assumption. Uh-huh. My assumption is that they probably would put in the parts and, you know, like all the structural part aspect mm-hmm. of it, but they mm-hmm. couldn't afford the transportation and then the people to put it together, blah, blah. That's my assumption. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
Okay. But wouldn't it have been cheaper to get it to Egypt than America?
But it wasn't the French people that were going to pay for it. It was going to be the Egyptians who were going to pay for it. So they couldn't afford it.
I don't think that's right, buddy.
No, I mean, that's my assumption. That's my assumption. But that's what they were. This is actually on the National Geographic.
Oh.
Yeah. Whoa. So they were actually saying how it's kind of like, and there's a conspiracy behind it, how you got me going. So, and I said, I looked very little into it. I mean, as far as like, but I am going to watch it though, because it's just really interesting how there's a conspiracy behind just about everything.
Right.
So there is a conspiracy as far as like the on her head. Mm-hmm. There are seven little spikes, and seven is like, so they were saying that there's it is tied back to the what is that? What are those people called? It's a group that's
Freemasons.
There you go. I think it was a Freemasons.
Or the Illuminati.
Illuminati. Yeah, okay. The Illuminati. There you go. They were tied to Illuminati somehow, mm-hmm. and it's just like, wait a sec, what the hell? But they were actually giving some, I won't say facts, but they were very conspiratorially.
Nope.
Nope. That ain't a word.
Not a word.
yes. But no, I just mind-boggling to me that there's so many there's a lot of situations in history where there's so much conspiracy. I mean, if you look mm-hmm. at like 9/11, there's a lot of conspiracy behind that, mm-hmm. which I look, I'm not trying to get into conspiracy theories, but there is something behind it, in my opinion, right. My perception, my reality,
right,
where there's something fishy, you know what I mean?
Definitely. I think it's I think conspiracy theories only became a thing
right
once somebody said, but what if it was because of this?
Right.
And then I think because everybody always, or at least from what I gather, certain situations, everybody is like, oh, it's just what it is. You know, look at the evidence and everything. But then as soon as somebody says, yeah, I see what I see, but what if this happened because of this?
Right.
And then it just kind of builds upon itself. Right. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, holy crap, you know,
right.
Presidential assassinations and aliens and Statue of Liberty. And it's like, you know, all kinds of shit where like, it's like, okay, so it's like, how far do we go before we're like, okay, this is a little crazy. But at the same time, it's like, okay, when do we say too crazy?
Right. So I know what you're saying. You know, but kind of like the same saying, like, can a rock just be a rock, right? Or can, I know it's a horrible metaphor.
Can a rock be a rock?
Can a rock just be a rock? Without being something more than just a rock. You know what I mean?
When did it stop being a rock?
That's the conspiracy aspect of it. Like, what if it's not a rock? What if it's...
What would it be?
A fucking... I don't know.
But a rock is a rock.
Well, if you look at a rock, and a big-ass rock, right?
Yeah.
You and I can say, like, hey, that's a fucking rock. But a conspiracy theorist person would say, like, that's not just a rock. That's a fucking... somebody put that rock there because it has a whole bunch of artificial intelligence behind it, inside of it. And I cannot discredit your conspiracy, because I mean, I don't have the proof not to, you know what I'm saying?
No.
So
when did a rock stop being a rock?
That's the great question. As a what I'm trying to say is, you're saying like you cannot take a conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
right? Somebody says, well, what if it's not just that? And that's what I'm kind of saying. Like,
don't take it at face value.
Yeah, yeah. So a rock itself, like, you, to me, you and I.
Maybe it's really a potato.
I want to say a potato, but it is a rock, but there's more to the rock itself. How did that rock get there? I mean, I'm just using a fucking rock. I could have used something else. I mean, I could have used a whatever. You know what I mean?
Man, what is this world coming to where a rock can't just be a rock?
But isn't that weird, though? Like, just to have so many things just be conspiracies or...
Oh, yeah.
Or is it a conspiracy or is it coincidental?
See, I think conspiracies at one point stop being genuine interest in this potentially being a thing,
right,
than just providing a cool narrative.
Right.
Where somebody was like, hey, this is a conspiracy, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, that's really cool. Or I never thought of it that way. And it's like, okay, is it really a conspiracy, or did somebody just think of a more interesting way to tell a story we already know the outcome to?
Right. So I was watching, just to finish up real quick, I was watching Joe Exotic again. And so Carole Baskin's husband, right?
Yeah.
Obviously based
fucking
on
Carole Baskin.
Obviously based on her, she didn't kill him, but there's a conspiracy where it's like there's a lot of things, there's a lot of coincidental things that happen that make it seem like she did kill her husband, or at least there's something fishy about it, right? So that's where the conspiracy comes up, where like, hey, I mean, you know, like I said, facts are facts, but at the end of the day, I mean, some of these facts are you know, kind of lining up together, and it might just be a coincidental fact, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense, I don't know.
Coincidental?
I just made something up. Awesome. But no, yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, you know what I mean? It's like, what would I would call a coincidental fact? I would call, let's say, in Carole Baskin's husband, the coincidental fact would be that he did fly airplanes without a license. Because he would always do it. The fact would be like you can't fly airplanes without a license. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't think that's a thing, buddy.
Yeah, I tried though.
Well, like, okay,
I tried.
Well, like, the theory is that
hold on. The fact would be my bad. I didn't mean to interrupt. Hashtag. The fact would be is that they found one of his vehicles there.
At the airport.
And the other fact would be that he did have a lot of airplanes. And then the other fact would be that he did take his airplanes a lot, you know, on right? But the if you kind of look at it in a not political way, but a legal way, is that you can't fly an airplane without having
plan and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of that's the other factual fact, I guess you can call it. You know what I mean?
There are definitely things in place to make you think, at least with that particular instance, to think, okay, there are definitely a few different outcomes that could potentially happen. Did she kill him and feed him to her cats? That's very possible.
Right.
I mean, but cats don't eat bone. So at some point there would have to be bones somewhere.
Well, if you recall, there was a lot of hoopla.
There you go.
Around the
hoopla.
There's a lot of fupa around the
fupa
around the meat grinder that they had, supposedly, and they kind of like. One of the things that they said is like, why didn't they test the meat grinder to see if there's any DNA?
Dude, like, well, like fucking Sweeney Todd,
right? But there's a reason why they that she has said that there. I mean, like, there's no reason of, you know.
Well, not now.
Right? Yeah. That's. I mean, because I'm pretty sure they could have found some DNA in that.
Oh,
but it wouldn't have mattered though. You know what I mean?
I think if the initial investigation when it happened now,
right,
that it probably would have been done differently or definitely handled differently,
right?
But the fact that it was handled at a time that
that it was handled in. I think it they definitely missed some points and some times to definitely check other things in order to maybe come to a better conclusion. Mm-hmm. Even if they had done those things,
right,
there is that equal potential chance that he is alive.
Right.
And just in a different country, and maybe we don't know.
I know what you're saying. There's a conspiratorial fact that a lot of people would go to South America and kind of escape there as a refugee, escaping from the law. Kind of like the from what I heard, that's how Australia was kind of founded a little bit, was because a lot of
Elvis lives in South America.
So is Tupac.
Yeah. So is Amelia Earhart.
No, she's dead already.
Nah, man. She's still alive. She's kicking it.
Oh, shit.
All right, folks. I think we're going to call it a night. And we'll come screaming at you next week.
I'm tired. I got to work tomorrow. Some bitch.
All right. This has been the Warehouse Rats podcast.
Holy shit, it's 11 already.
We will we'll come cracking at you next week. Take it easy, and we'll see you then.
Go out and vote.
Don't forget to vote. Warehouse Rats podcast.
For president.
For president. Sandhill
Coffee.com.
All right. We'll see you folks next week.